Good morning, happy Sabbath, everyone. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, happy Sabbath, everyone. It is good to be here. I would like to bring greetings on behalf of the conference administration, Pastor Miguel and Priscilla. As you know, I want to ask for prayer as we get closer to our session in April. I know that you already sent your delegates for the different meetings that we're going to have. So I would like to ask of the church to keep praying for the section. You know, we want God to lead everything that is going to be taking place, but we want to have a good meeting, right? We want to have a good meeting. Pastor Miguel and myself, we have been going around to different meetings, different conferences, just to observe and to learn, and just to see how it's done in different places, and we just want to have a smooth meeting by God's grace, if you know what I mean. You know, there are other places where it gets a little tension. You know, it gets a little difficult at times. And we understand that, but we are doing everything in our hands, you know, to have a good meeting. And that's when you need to step in by praying and also by being there, right, as a delegate to represent your church and to hear more about what is being done at the conference level. All right? Well, I'm not here to talk about session this morning. Amen. I'm here to speak and talk and learn about God's word. Amen? Wonderful, wonderful. I'm in this journey myself now that when I go to church, I don't really want to go just to preach and tell and talk. I like to to have an interactive service, if you know what I mean. I like to ask questions, and hopefully we can talk and share a little bit. I believe that the church is a wonderful learning place. Will you agree with me? I think we're all here, we can learn something from each other. I need to say that one more time. All of us who are here, all of us can learn something from each other. Amen? Okay, so I learned as well that when you start learning, you stop growing. So I hope that as we learn together, we grow together, right? So that's what we're here to do. We are here to learn together. And I want to please ask to go with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. Book of Matthew 9, 35 and 36. We're going to read these two verses, and we're going to build on this. We're going to have some lessons, and we're going to have some discussion about it. Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36. And it says this: Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease, and every kind of sickness. Verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. My topic for this morning is moved with compassion. Move with compassion. Let's pray one more time. Our Father, again, we are here in your house of prayer. And Lord, we just want to invite your presence to continue with us as we open your word, as we study this message, Lord. Please talk to our hearts and minds. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want you to ask you, please, if you don't mind, to put your mind into the Bible, okay? Because when I read the Bible, I really like to be there. I like to close my eyes and just imagine that I'm going, you know, experiencing what it was like to be on those days when Jesus was here. So just going back to this Bible text, I think it's really wonderful. How many of us are willing to walk with Jesus today? Can I hear an amen? All right. So all of us who are here are willing to walk with Jesus. So let's go back. Let's put in our minds that we are with Jesus, okay? So listen to this. Verse 36 says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, right? He was teaching, he was preaching, he was proclaiming the gospel. So we are walking with Jesus, okay? Are you there with me? Okay, are you there? Put your mind into it. We are walking with Jesus. We are following Jesus. We can see what Jesus is doing. We are interacting with the people. We are walking with him. Now, I need to ask, as we walk with Jesus, what do you see? And I know we don't have the mic available. I noticed that I don't know if this is live on YouTube or Facebook, but what's that? YouTube? Okay, so we might need probably a mic around. I don't know. I should have asked for this at the beginning. But I just want you to tell me, if we are walking with Jesus, all right, what will you see? We're walking with Jesus in Bible times. The Bible says that Jesus was going through all these towns and villages. And I need to know, what do you see as you walk with him? Has anyone can see something? We are walking with him. Your mind's there, right? What do you see as you walk with him? Okay, yeah, we will see people who are lame, right? People who would need help. What do you see? Okay, homeless people, right? We see that. What else do you see? You see sickness. Okay, what else? Sinners, yes, okay. What else do you see? We are walking with him. You're seeing all these things, right? What else do you see? Okay, people, you know, curiosity in the people, like, who is that? Why is many people following this guy? What is so good about him? What is going on? So we see all these elements, all these people, all this character, all these reactions from people acting and wondering what's going on, right? But let me add something else. Let's think that now Jesus is here with us. Jesus is here in our neighborhood. We are walking with Jesus. What are you going to see today if you walk with Jesus right now? If we close the church and we go out to the community and we are following Jesus, what will you see? You will see love. Okay, what will you see? Compassion. What will you see? Emptiness. Okay. What will you see?
Desperation,
right? Healing taking place as well, because Jesus is there, right? What else do you see?
You see hatred.
You see hatred? Yes. Yes. Okay, Jesus will tell the truth, whether, you know, whether if we are willing to hear it or not. Okay, what else are you going to see?
Forgiveness.
Yes. Yes. People without hope, hopelessness. Yes. What else are you going to see if you walk with Jesus? Okay, we're going to see people sick, right? We mentioned that, just like in the open Bible days, right? We're going to see people sick, people homeless people as well. We're going to see that. We're going to see people who are, you know, dealing with drugs, addictions, you know. We will see all of that. We're going to see people eating things that we usually don't eat. Amen, anyone? Right? We're going to see people like that, right? We are walking with Jesus, right? So just imagine what it was like to walk with Jesus in those Bible times. And what it will be to walk with Jesus today. Okay, very good. Yes. So we're going to see all these things, right? Jesus, we are walking with him. We are seeing people hurt. We're going to see people broken. We're going to see people messed up in their minds, in their behavior. We're going to see all of that. People listen to music that we don't like to listen. People doing things that we usually don't do. But we're going to see that. It is amazing when you go out and you go to the places that are not the usually places that we attend to, the type of environment that we are in, most likely we're going to encounter, the type of behavior that people will have. Because here we are, you know, we all well behave and, you know, we know how to act and this is a church setting and, you know, we're here to worship and we know how to, you know, most likely to open the Bible and open the hand and we know how to behave. We are... It's good. But what happened if all of us today decided, you know what, Pastor? Let's change your service today. Instead of meeting here, let's go to the park. Let's do something. Maybe today is a little better, right? If it was too cold, most likely we'll not have people outside. But just imagine what would be if all of us go out, start connecting with people, meeting people, just going outside. We're going to see different people doing different things. And I'll be honest, some of us probably will not feel comfortable with what we see. Thank you. So I need to say that one more time. Because we feel comfortable here. You know, we're just talking, right? I'm talking. I'm here to facilitate a learning experience for all of us. And if we go out of the church trying to connect with people, most likely some of us will not feel comfortable because we're not used to it. On Sabbath day to go out instead of worshiping here, go out. That's a little interesting. We're not used to that. Or just forget about being Sabbath. Let's pick a Sunday or Monday or any day of the week. It is uncomfortable. But the Bible says that Jesus was going through all cities and villages. So let's think about that for a second. Jesus is going through all, you know, all these cities and villages. As you walk with him, I can just imagine, you know, as you walk with Jesus in all these cities, in all these places, people are different. Because, you know, most likely people here in Elmira, the way that they do things is way different from people in Syracuse, New York, or in New York City, right? Or in Boston, or whatever, Florida, whatever. Well, maybe I should not mention Florida because it's really warm there. Maybe your mind will go there. So stay here in New York. Don't go to Florida yet, okay? But, you know, it's different, right? Actually, the weather changes people's behavior. Do you realize that, right? If you have spent time in the Caribbean, maybe you were born there, you know that people in the Caribbean, they're not concerned with time. That's why we are late all the time. Come on, hello. I was born in the Caribbean. So I can tell you that from experience. People in the Caribbean, they're not concerned with time because they don't need to worry about getting, you know, get ready, prepare for the snow, get, you know, all of these things. They don't need to get extra clothing for the winter. It's summer every day. They're not concerned with time. So, you know, the time and the weather change people's minds and behavior. So imagine that. We are walking with Jesus. We see all these things. We would most likely, we don't feel comfortable with what we see. So people are different. Their mindset is different. But yes, Jesus is out there connecting and reaching people. Somebody say amen. I need to mention that one more time. Despite of Jesus, the people were different. Maybe I'm moving too much. I need to stay here. But I can't help it, my brother. So you have probably moved the camera for me. Is that, I'm okay? All right. Wonderful. So Jesus is moving. He's going through all these places, right? Meeting people with different backgrounds, different experience, different country. Yeah, we can say that. Yeah, we can say that. But Jesus was there. Connecting, reaching people, talking to them, doing something good for them. That's what I see. I also, if I'm walking with Jesus today, if I go outside today, I will see people who used to come to this church that are no longer attending the church. If I go out, I will see people like that. The story of so many people who used to, I was a Adventist. I used to go to that church. I used to go to the academy. I used to go to the school that was here a long time ago. And we hear all these stories. And why are they not coming anymore? There are people who left the church because they are hurt by some of the things that I say. Somebody didn't like that. But there are people who left the church because some of the things that I have done, some of the things that I have said, because I have not done anything to really bring them back into trying to heal that relationship. So if we go out, most likely we'll see people like that who are hurt by the church, and by the church I mean us. I mean me. Hurt because I have not made my intention to try to heal, maybe do a phone call and say, you know what, I did something to you, I'm sorry for what I did. We have not done anything to really heal that relationship. People who left the church for so many reasons. But Jesus was out there teaching, healing, connecting with people. There's something special that took place then when he was walking around, seeing all these different backgrounds, different people, acknowledging them, talking to them, praying with them. He saw something very interesting. Verse 36 says that when he saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion on them. Now, this morning we acknowledge the fact that we want to walk with him. And we want to follow Jesus. Well, if we want to follow Jesus, we need to do what Jesus did. And we must be willing to go. Somebody need to say willing to go. And we will talk more this afternoon about this aspect of going to the community and doing things, right? But we must be willing to go, just like Jesus did. Just imagine. We know that there were times when Jesus were in places that people don't felt comfortable with him being there. Do you remember that? There actually was a time when Jesus was trying to reach people, trying to connect with them, and he came back to his hometown. You guys remember the story, right? He came back to his hometown, and there people were like, we don't want to hear this guy. The disciples says, you know what, Jesus, give us the okay. Give us the green light. we're gonna turn this whole town on fire. They were ready to burn the whole team down, the whole town, because people were not receptive to him. And the fact, the Bible says that Jesus couldn't do any miracles there because the people didn't allow him to do. So in other fact, Jesus was not welcomed in the town. He was not welcomed among the people. But Jesus was willing to go. He knew that the task was not easy. He knew that most likely he would be rejected, but he was willing to go. He knew that even though he was preaching with love and compassion and teaching him and all of these things, most likely he will be rejected by the same people that he served. And yes, he was willing to go. He was willing to serve and minister all kinds of people. People who do not look like him. People who would not eat what Jesus was eating, but Jesus was serving them. Jesus was able to go. He was willing to go because of his love for the people. His love for the people. So the question is, if Jesus was willing to go because of love for the people, and we said today that we want to follow him, we need to also understand that in order for us to follow Jesus, we need to love people the same way that he did. Love people. Love people. I'm not talking about picking and choosing who deserve to hear about God's word. We're talking about sharing the word, speaking to anyone, to love people. Love people. You know, I really believe that when Jesus was here, he saw everyone as a candidate for the kingdom of God. Amen. There was no distinction. There was no color. There was no culture. There was no background. He was not worried about that. He was just worried about sharing his love for the people. Sharing his love for the people. Sharing the truth in love and compassion. Now, I believe that some of us are so concerned about preserving the truth that we are not willing to share the truth. And there's a difference. Because when we preserve the truth, it's like nobody else needs to hear about this. I need to preserve it just for me. Just for me and my friends. Just for me and people from church. I need to protect it. I need to preserve it. I need to keep it private. But the Bible does not share that. The Bible says that we must share the truth. We need to preserve our principles and values that we have learned from the Bible, but we must share the truth. There's a difference. Preserving Bible principles, preserving our values, we need to preserve those, but we must share the truth. Jesus was willing to go. He was willing. He was going out. And I love Jesus' ministry because when I see him doing all of these things, I get excited about it. I see Jesus doing all these wonderful things. I don't see Jesus, you know, holding and just sitting around, waiting for something to happen. No, no, no. Jesus was willing to go and do something. An action, active. Are you happy to know that Jesus was active in ministry? Oh, come on. You are like, what are you talking about? Yeah, he was active. You see him here? Connecting with, that's active. He was active, right? In ministry. Active. He was going out. Yes, I can say this. He was out of his comfort zone. And instead of asking people to come to him, Jesus was saying, you know, I need to go to the people. Stepping out of the comfort zone. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. But it's something that we must do. Instead of asking people to come to us, we must go to the people. That was Jesus did. I'm not telling you something new. It's in the Bible. Following Jesus' example means that we must follow what he did. And Jesus was going out to the people, connecting with them. Now, there's different ways for us to do that. When you go out to the community, when you go out to the supermarket, maybe you don't need to get a microphone and start speaking and yelling at everyone to come to church. But how about it maybe how we do things? Instead of telling people, how about if we just show the people in our behavior, in the way that we talk to them, the way we treat them, the way we serve them? How about that? How about if we can really impact our community, not so much for what we say, but most important for what we do? And to this afternoon, we're going to address a question. And the question that we're going to address this afternoon, if this church closed the doors, would anyone in our community notice? We'll talk about that this afternoon. If this church would close these doors, would anyone in their community notice? Jesus was willing to go and connect with people, to serve the people. Jesus was humble enough to acknowledge that there was need, there was something that needs to be done, and he did it. He went out. The Bible says that when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. If you have gone to New York City or any major city, they do have these signs that says, if you see something, say something, right? If you see something that is not supposed to be there, a bag or something, whatever that is, you see a person acting in a weird or strange way, you need to say something. Because if you see something that's not supposed to be taking place there, you need to say something. But in the Bible, Jesus says to us, when you see something, do something. The Bible says that when he saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. He was willing to do something. Because the people were confused and helpless. Jesus was humble. So in order for us to be like Jesus, we must be humble. So the question is, are we humble enough to serve others before ourselves? Are we humble enough to acknowledge that when we do something wrong? Humble enough to acknowledge that there are times when I do things that I'm not supposed to do, and I'm humble enough to say, I'm sorry. I did it. It's my fault. I am sorry. I have been in church for a while. And usually, when we have some issues in church, people always trying to blame others. And they got up in business meetings and board meetings, and they say, the problem that we have in this church, listen to this, the problem that we have in this church is they saying, acting as if they're not a member of the same church that they're speaking against. I heard people say, oh, the problem that we have in this church is this. And then they go and they say, the problem that we have with the pastor is this. And the problem that we have with the conference is this. Well, the problem that we have with the union and the division, and by the time you know they have a problem with the whole general conference. And when they're done with the conference, they have a problem with the whole world. No one is good enough for them. No one is doing the right thing. No one is preaching what they're supposed to be preaching. And they have a problem with everyone and everything. But I have never heard anyone saying, the problem of this church is me. I have never heard that. And most likely I would never will. But the question is, are we humble enough to acknowledge when we do things the wrong way? Are we humble enough? Jesus was humble enough. And even though he was rejected, he was always coming back to say, you know, I love you, I care for you. Let me talk to you about my heavenly Father. Let me talk to you about the kingdom that I'm preparing for you. He was humble enough to keep coming back, loving people. The Bible says that we also need to teach and preach like Jesus. How can you teach like Jesus? In order for us to teach like Jesus, we need to learn from him. You cannot teach something that you haven't learned. You cannot teach something that you haven't experienced. So you cannot teach about forgiveness when there are some things in your heart that you haven't let go yet. You cannot teach about compassion if you don't show compassion with your brothers and sisters. You cannot think and talk about leading when you have some problems following guidelines and following God yourself. So before we preach and before we teach, we need to have a clear understanding what Jesus has done for all of us. And last time I checked, he has forgiven me all my sins. I'm a new creature because he loves me, he cares for me. So that's why I can teach and preach about what Jesus has done for me. So I'm not asking you to do something that you haven't experienced yourself with Jesus. You need to teach, to talk, and preach about what Jesus has done for you. Not for the pastor, not for the elders, but for you. What has Jesus done for you? Talk about that. Share about that. Get excited about what Jesus has done for you. That's what we need to get excited about. Something real. Something that is significant to me, to us. Something that you have experienced yourself. Compassion like Jesus. Move with compassion like him. The Bible says when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion. Jesus saw the need of people. He was willing to do something about it. So if we want to, again, be like him, we need to learn to see people the same way that Jesus was able to see them. Jesus saw people. He saw candidates for the kingdom of God. He saw someone who was hurt, and Jesus was able to do something about it. Jesus saw people in pain, and he needed to do something about it. Jesus saw broken people. He says, I cannot stand still. I got to do something about it. He saw people in distress. I got to do something about it. People are asking and wondering about different things in life. Jesus saw all of that, and he says, the Bible says that he could not stay still. He had to move and do something about it. The question that we need to ask ourselves as a church, what are we doing with all these things that we're seeing around us? We see people in stress. We see people in pain. We see broken homes. People getting, you know, all type of diseases and all of these things that mentally. And what are we doing? When we see all of these things, what are we doing for them? I hope and pray that just like Jesus, we are able and willing to move with compassion on them. Because guess what? Jesus is still moving with compassion towards us. He can see what is going on in us. He can see our struggles. He can see when we're messed up. He can see that we are not yet near, not even close to being perfect yet. He can see all of that, but he's still moving with compassion towards us. He can see our struggles at home. He can see that financially that we are not doing well. He can see that. He can see the struggles that we have trying to raise our sons and daughters the right way. He can see that. He can see our pain. He can see our tears when we close the doors at nighttime. The light is off. No one is there. But Jesus can see exactly what all of us are going through. He can see that. And here's the wonderful news. Because Jesus can see what is going on, he will do something about it. Jesus was able to do the impossible because he was able to see the invisible. I need to say that one more time. Jesus was able to do the impossible because he was able to see the invisible. So when you cry at night time, when the light is off and mist seems that no one cares for you, I want you to know that Jesus can see that and he is willing to do something about it. You struggle, he can see it. The way that we struggle with so many things, we wrestle with so many things, he can see that and he is willing to do something about it. Whatever you're going through, he can see that. The challenges that we have, he can see that and he is willing to do something about it. The Bible says that when he saw the multitude, when he saw the crowd, when he saw what was going on, he was moved with compassion. Couldn't stand still. He has to move with compassion. He has to do something. So I need to tell you today, remind you this morning, that Jesus can see our pain. He can see our suffering. He can see our problems. And he will do something about it. There's nothing impossible for Jesus. Somebody need to say amen. There's nothing impossible for Jesus. Oh, you still not there with me just yet. So allow me to say it one more time. There's nothing impossible for Jesus. Doesn't matter how long you think you have been waiting for. There's nothing impossible for him. And in his time, he will do what he has to do. He's able. Again, he's able to see the invisible. So that's why he can do the impossible. There were other people who were able to see what Jesus was able to see. When Jesus saw death, when people saw death, Jesus saw life. When others were seeing obstacles, Jesus was seeing opportunities. When others were seeing darkness, Jesus was able clearly to see the light. When others saw destruction, Jesus was able to see restoration. When others was able to see problems, Jesus was able to see solutions. When others saw conflict, Jesus saw resolution. Jesus is able to see things clearly and better. And that's why today we can move with compassion. Because he's moving. He's still moving towards us. Jesus is empower us to move with compassion so we can do what he did with others. I pray that all of us today can see things the way that Jesus was able to see them. Clearly. Jesus is able to see things better. What about us? If we are walking with him, if we're asking Jesus to lead us, he's going to show us, he's going to tell us how we're going to be able to accomplish this. I want to be like Jesus today. I don't know about you, but I really want to be like him because I want to move with compassion. And I want to see the things that Jesus was able to see. I want to see people just by who they are. People. Loved by God. I want to see unity when others just see division. I want to see what Jesus was able to see. I want God to help me, Jesus to help me to see the best in people, even though they are not at their best behavior. Because that was Jesus was able to see. Jesus not saw people by the way they were acting. Jesus was seeing the future and say, you know, you're acting this way, but only if you allow me to get closer to you, only if you allow me to get into your heart, I will not see you by the way you're acting now. I will see you what will happen if I enter into your heart, and I will see you eventually in a better way. We need to see light in the midst of darkness. We need to see light in the midst of darkness. We need to see problems, but at the same time, we need to see solutions. We can see obstacles, yes, but at the same time, we need to see opportunities. We need to stop asking and saying so much, Pastor, it cannot be done. It is impossible. It is unreachable. We have tried this. We have tried that. Nothing seems to work. We need to stop seeing the obstacles. It is time for us to see opportunities. A lot of people are dying. A lot of people are hurt. What are we doing about it? The signs of the times are right in front of us. Jesus is coming soon. What are we doing about it? Earthquakes killing hundreds of thousands of people. Floods everywhere. Fire destroying houses. People being, you know, just broken homes and all of these things. What are we doing about it? Jesus is coming soon. We must move with compassion today. Not tomorrow, but today. Not in the next week, but right now. Not in the next month, right now. Not in the next business meeting or board meeting. We must act and move with compassion today. Because there are people hurting. There are people in pain and they cannot wait any longer. We need to act right now. We got to do something right now. Don't forget that Jesus is still moving with compassion. So when you fall, he will pick you up. When you are in tears, he will bring you comfort. When you are in pain, we have learned that he's a pain taker. He will take your pain away. He's moving with compassion. The time has come for us to be like Jesus. To move with compassion. To pray more, to study more, and to talk less. Some of us like to talk. It's time for us to pray more, study more, and talk less. The time has come for us to realize that as Christians that we are, as followers of Christ that we are called to reflect Jesus' character in this world. We are called to reflect Jesus' character on this world. That means that you and I, we have a spiritual responsibility to lead people to the kingdom of God. We are responsible to lead people to the kingdom of God. I thought somebody would say amen, but I need to say amen for you. We are responsible, no one else, to lead people to a better understanding of who God is and what God has done. We also need to understand that since we are followers of Jesus, we have a social responsibility in our communities. Yes, we are responsible to improve our communities. You still know that with me as yet? But Jesus did it by helping people, by touching with them, by connecting with them. He was able to improve the community around him. We are called to do the same, to improve the community. We got to do something about it. And we're going to talk more this afternoon about it. But I believe sometimes the reason why we don't go enough to the community is because we want people to come to the church. And we think that if we do something for the community, those people need to come to the church the next day and be baptized in the following Sabbath. Now, is that the reason why we want to connect with the people? That's the wrong reason. Let me tell you right now. And that is not Jesus' method. We're going to learn about that as well this afternoon. When we go out to the community and do something for the people, we got to do it because the people are in need. They are hurt. And we have an opportunity to do something for them. What was that? There you go. Know what we can get out of it. We go out there to serve the people. We go out there because they're hungry. We need to take care of their needs. And hopefully, by us doing this, by us being intentional, by loving them, by showing care and compassion towards them, they will get to know who we are, and then they will come to the church. Let me tell you something. There's no one coming to this church unless they trust you, unless they know who you are. Think about it. You go outside right now, you ask a mother with two children, three children, a father to bring children to, because we're going to have a BBS. A BBS, they're going to ask, what is that? Oh, it's a program for us to take care of your children. But I don't know you. I don't know people around here in Elmira. But most likely, if you ask somebody that you never met before, yeah, give me your children. Bring me to church. I will take care of them for the whole day. They're going to look at you. What, are you crazy? Are you mad? I don't know you. How come you're going to take care of my children? But when you establish a relationship with the people, when you connect with the people, they get to know you. They get to trust you. And then you can say, we're going to do this. Can you come and join us? That's what Jesus did. The Bible says that Jesus, method of Jesus alone will bring true success to this work, to this church. Jesus mingled with the people, compassion. He mingled with them. He spent time with them. He take care of their needs. And then he says, follow me. Because there was a connection already established. They were able to trust Jesus. They were so, oh, this guy is taking care of us. He's helping us. He's doing all these wonderful things for us. Yes, of course, we're going to follow you because we know you. We know that you care for us. We know that you mean well for us. We're going to follow Jesus. Of course we will. What if the church do the same thing? What if we go out there to the community and we understand that social responsibility that we have to do something for them? Then we can say, we have BBS, we have a special program for family. Can you come and join us? Because people trust you, they will. We are responsible to lead people to a better understanding of who God is. The time has come for us, brothers and sisters, to be like Jesus, to move with compassion, just like Jesus. The time has come for us to preach about judgment, but at the same time, we need to preach about God's grace. The time has come for us to preach about condemnation, but at the same time, we need to preach about salvation. The time has come for us to accept that as followers of Christ, we are committed ourselves to be just like Him. When you say, I will follow Jesus, I will move like Him, I will do what He did, that means that I'm committing myself to follow Jesus and to move with compassion just like Him. Our call to be Christian is a call to serve, to love, and to care. Jesus is calling us to be Christians, to be followers of Him, but this call is for us to serve, to care, and to love. The time has come for us to stand up when others are failing. The time has come for us to do something when others are just talking about what needs to be done. We need to do something. We have to move with compassion. Today, like never before, we need to understand about Jesus' character. We need to talk about his character because we know that his mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. And his promise is sure. And if we know all of these things about Jesus, we got to move with compassion right at this time. Last question that I have for you. Do you want to be like Jesus? Are you willing to move with compassion just like he did? I pray that all of us who are here understand that the reason we can move with compassion towards others is because Jesus is still moving with compassion towards you, towards me. He can see and he will do something about it. He can see what I'm going through. He will do something about it. And out of that gratitude, in our hearts, we have to also replicate what we have seen in our own lives from Jesus. We are called to move with compassion just like him. Let's think about this. Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything for everyone, every time. Jesus is everything for everyone, every time. We must move with compassion, just like Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, because you never get tired of moving towards us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness, like we hear today in our special music. Your goodness is every day after us. And you are moved with compassion towards us every single day. That's the only reason why we're here. Because you love and compassion towards us. Lord, as a church, as a community of believers, we must act right now in compassion towards others. In the world that it is full of pain and suffering, this is the time for us to step up and do what we have to do. It is time for us to act and move with compassion. And I pray, Lord, that we fill our hearts with this idea, with this concept, that compassion is not an event. Compassion is not something that we just do one day. Compassion is Jesus. Compassion is a lifestyle. Compassion is something that we need to have in our heart, in our mind, every single day. Thank you, Lord, for listening to us. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.